You can volunteer anytime in a number of ways. By working in the kitchen, preparing, serving, and cleaning up after meals, by contributing food or non-food items, or by making a cash donation. For more information, visit www.loavesfishes.org or call 408-934-4990. Once again, www.loavesfishes.org or 408-934-4990.
You're in tune to KZSU Stanford. It's Monday afternoon. It's Monday noon, so it must be another edition of the Lunch Special. Here it is on KZSU. Welcome to a very, very, very special edition of the Lunch Special today here at Stanford Radio KZSU. Returning veteran of this show, ironically say that, Professor of Political Science Scott D. Sagan, not related to Carl. Right, Scott?
No, but I've been asked that question billions and billions of times.
We went over that last time you were here, so we don't need... And also a senior fellow at the Center for International Security and Cooperation, and now... You're part of this crew that's putting on a lecture series this semester here at Stanford called Ethics and War, and you've come down today to play some songs related to that subject. And also, there's events coming all the way through next May. It looks like quite a few in February, March, but there's one in November, and then in December, January. And you're going to be speaking on that Ethics and War lecture series here at Stanford. Welcome back to KZSU, Scott.
Thank you very much, Bert. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. And just since you've been on the show, what you've been doing anything interesting? It was about 6, 8, 10 months ago you went?
That's right. Well, I spent some time this summer in Hiroshima.
Oh, really?
I'm working on a commission to try to encourage the government and the city of Hiroshima to be more active in terms of nuclear disarmament and nuclear nonproliferation issues. So we'll be doing a series of meetings there over the course of the next year or so.
Did you go anywhere near Fukushima?
I did not go near Fukushima. In fact, most people are not supposed to go near Fukushima.
I know there was a news alert today that they're having a big protest in Japan about the people there want to get cleared out because they're saying that the radiation's a lot higher than the government thought.
Yeah, I don't know about the radiation levels today, but it seems to me that the Fukushima Daiichi accident should serve as a reminder that this is a remarkably dangerous technology. Reasonable people can still want to have that and say that that's better than the global warming consequences of relying on coal. And yet, if even the Japanese, with their great technology, have this problem, it means that we have to really be very careful of how we regulate this particular technology. Some 45 states are trying to acquire nuclear energy capabilities today.
Really?
And, you know, for understandable reasons, economically and in terms of global warming. Mm-hmm. And yet, for that to occur in a safe and secure manner is one of the greatest challenges we have today.
Yeah, and Germany just outlawed all of it, didn't they? Aren't they going to phase it out of their whole country?
They say they're going to phase it out. Ironically, they're going to still rely on French nuclear power for some of their electricity.
Really?
That's
Isn't
right.
that funny?
And so, you know, it's a political issue that they have, but they, the Italians, the Thais, there are maybe 5 or 6 countries that have said they're going to phase it out, but there's some 45 that say they're going to phase it in.
Interesting. Scott D. Sagan, the professor for the hour. Let's talk about the music now. You've brought a real interesting set related to this lecture series, Ethics and War. Who was that we heard from right there?
That was a song, the great Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter, a cover done by a group, Playing for Change, which collects developing world musicians and some American musicians working together. So that was Taj Mahal, American singer, from this area, along with Rosalind Williams and Sherita Lewis from Jamaica, singing Gimme Shelter, a Mick Jagger, Keith Richards song.
You're doing that just like a DJ, man. I think you found a new sideline.
Oh, no, I'm going back to my roots. David Green, my college friend, and I did a show in Oberlin College our freshman year, and so
really?
This is going back after a few years.
Did we talk about this last time you were here?
Very briefly, yes.
Well, that's great. How's it feel to be back in the chair? Right?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's fun.
That's great. You're a natural at it, too, let me say. There is a theme to the music today. It has to do with this ethics and war.
The next program that's coming up in the Ethics and War series is Dr. Paul Wise from the School of Medicine and the Freeman Spogli Institute here at Stanford, talking about his work, War and Children's Lives, Before and During After War. And Paul has dedicated both his research and much of his time to try to reduce the likelihood that children will suffer. Children are often the hidden victim, both during conflict itself, but especially after conflicts when it's hard to get medicine, to get workers, to get health aid into countries. Mm-hmm. So Paul will be talking about that November 17th, 7 p.m. on Cubberley Auditorium. And I'm going to play the Jefferson Airplanes Volunteers of America.
Is there a website for this lecture series that people can go on and see the whole schedule?
This is sponsored by the Center for International Security and Cooperation, the Ethics and Society Program, the Drama Department. Many other groups have come together to form this Ethics and War lecture series. Ethics in Society at Stanford.edu is the best way to find this.
Okay, perfect. And who's coming up now?
Jefferson Airplane.
All right.
revolution, got to revolution.
Hey, I'm dancing down the street.
Got a revolution, got to revolution.
Ain't it amazing all the people I meet?
Got a revolution.
We are volunteers of America.
Classic for your Monday afternoon listening pleasure, and that was the Barry Maguire classic, Eve of Destruction. I'm here with political science professor Scott D. Sagan, and this is all about the ethics and war lecture series here at Stanford today, and playing songs related to it. Talk about that.
Well, there are many people who argue that ethics and war don't go together, and yet I strongly disagree with that view. It seems to me that if you're opposed to many wars, you should also think about when are there conflicts that are justified. And there's a whole tradition coming out of Augustine, and long tradition of looking at both the causes of war, whether war is justified under self-defense, how do you define self-defense, whether war is justified to try to have humanitarian intervention to intervene if there's genocide in a country. And then the biggest mistake that I think people make when looking at the problem of ethics and war is to assume that if your cause is justified, that anything you do is therefore justified. And the other tradition in just war theory says that's wrong, that even in conflict, you have to fight it in a just manner, and that means trying to reduce the number of civilians who are killed while fighting combatants.
That's what they call collateral damage, right?
That's right. And the U.S. military is making a concerted effort to try to reduce collateral damage. It's very difficult to do that and still serve your mission. And yet, today in Iraq, the soldiers are actually given benefits, and also in Afghanistan, if they exhibit what General Petraeus and General McChrystal have called courageous restraint, that is, deciding not to shoot on an enemy insurgent shooting at you if you think that the collateral damage would be excessive.
Interesting. When speaking about war, isn't it doesn't a lot of it depend on what side you talk to, though? Because if you talk to, say, you go to Iraq, if you talk to Americans, they might say, well, we're here for a reason, we're doing this and that. Then if you talk to Iraqis, they might have a completely different point of view. That happens in every war, right?
That does happen in every war, and this is why it's also important to look at the way in which wars are being fought. And to my way of thinking, that anyone who is deliberately targeting civilians as opposed to fighting against insurgents or fighting against soldiers, mm-hmm. Is engaged in a unjust military operation, regardless of what the cause is.
So that's supposed to be a war crime, right? If you go after women and children.
If you go after them in a deliberate manner, absolutely. And so, much of the question is, how do you define that? What is proportionality? That is, you should accept that there may well be collateral damage, unintended collateral damage, but even then, you should both do what you can to minimize that and even take risks to your own troops in order to try to reduce the number of civilians killed on the other side.
And then what do you do when women and children are armed and trying to kill you? Is that justified to get them?
Correct.
That's another question, right?
Absolutely. How do you define who a combatant is?
Exactly.
Now, what we're going to do in December in the Ethics and War series is not a normal lecture. It's going to be a performance at the Peacock Theater here at Stanford.
Right next door to the station here.
On Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings at 8 o'clock, and Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, a performance of Copenhagen, the award-winning play by Michael Frayn, which is about Heisenberg and Niels Bohr, the physicists, meeting during World War II. The event actually did occur in Copenhagen. Heisenberg, the head of the German nuclear program, met with his mentor, his former professor, Niels Bohr. We don't know exactly what Heisenberg was doing, what he was trying to get at, but he asked Bohr a series of questions trying to find out whether Bohr thought that a nuclear bomb was possible, and was he trying to find out, were the Americans and the British really secretly working on it, or was he just exploring this? We don't know.
Was he working for the Nazis when he had the meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Heisenberg was. Heisenberg ended up later on advising Hitler not to spend money on a nuclear weapons program, but rather to go for advanced missiles and other kinds of technologies. The uncertainty in the historical literature still remains. Most historians think that Heisenberg simply made a miscalculation. He made an error and would have supported the bomb program had he thought it was possible. There are others, however, who think that he possibly might have thought the Nazis should not get the bomb and therefore secretly sabotage the program by telling Hitler not to spend money on it. That's what this program is about. So we're going to be having a performance for 3 days with talkbacks and with introductions. I'll be giving one on Saturday night, the 3rd. And it's going to be a very, very interesting performance. I hope everyone will come out. I have chosen two songs. Nuclear weapons and nuclear war are not an easy thing to sing about. And we often use humor to mask our horror about mm-hmm. the feelings. Mm-hmm. So I've chosen Randy Newman's great song, Political Science, and then Nina's 1980 song, 99 Red Balloons.
All right.
No one likes us, I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but
are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one, pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot and Canada's too cold. South America stole our name, let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia, don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. We'll build an all-American amusement park there, they got surfing too. Boom goes London, boom Paris. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, we'll just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. Japanese kimono, baby, be Italian shoes to me. They all hate us anyhow, so let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
Thank you.
called 99 Balloons, right, Scott?
That's right. A hit in the 80s. It's hard to dance to a song about accidental nuclear war, but people were doing it.
Well, in the 80s, you know, we didn't really listen to the words. We were kind of just, well, some did, some didn't, but there was a lot of dancing going on.
That's right.
It was a different time for sure. Here with Scott D. Sagan, professor of political science here at Stanford. Not teaching this quarter, but you're involved in this lecture series called Ethics and War, as part of the Center for International Security and Cooperation, and that's what all the music is themed around today. Talk about those last two songs.
Well, the last two songs were Randy Newman's tongue-in-cheek effort to talk about let's drop the big one and see what happens. His anger over people who think that America is not 100% perfect. Tongue-in-cheek, very well done. We'll save Australia. Don't want to kill no kangaroos. We'll build a great American amusement park there. They've got surfing, too. And then this other song from the 80s, a dance hit, 99 Red Balloons, about a woman who puts some balloons up in the air and it causes the Russians to think that the United States is starting a nuclear war. There have been more close calls to that kind of incident than we'd like to acknowledge, and therefore it seems to me that working in good faith towards the eventual elimination of nuclear weapons is a very worthwhile project, and I'm really glad that many at Stanford and many other scholars and politicians around the world are at least trying to move us in the right direction.
Really? So there's quite a few here at Stanford doing that?
Absolutely.
And you're one of them, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And is that the main thrust of the Center for International Security and Cooperation?
It's one of many thrusts. The center tries to do scholarly work that has policy relevance. And so we have both scientists, social scientists, historians, multidisciplinary projects, some of which will work on nuclear weapons issues, some on nuclear power, some on civil wars, some on terrorism, some on biological dangers that can occur as technology moves forward without constraints. So how do we create the advances that we want in energy, in technology, without some of the negative consequences? And that's what the center's trying to do.
And when you guys do that, I guess in academia, you release papers
We publish papers, we teach courses, we're involved in this Ethics and War series. But the center also has a long tradition of being engaged in track two diplomacy, that is, occasionally having meetings between actors who can't meet at the government-to-government level, or taking activities that governments would want if they could actually do it, but they can't for whatever reason. So I've run meetings, for example, with Indians and Pakistanis together, talking about problems of nuclear weapons and stability in their region. Or the co-director, Siegfried Heckert, has had numerous trips into North Korea to look at their nuclear facilities and to report back to the U.S. government and to the U.S. public on what he's seen, serving as a conduit for sharing of information between the North Koreans and the United States.
This is very heady stuff. You know, and it's funny, too, because now that the whole political situation is being looked at in a different way by the public, you know, if the Occupy movement grew and came to academia and said, hey, we'd like some serious minds to help us come up with solutions, because the politicians can't do it. They're on the take. They have to work for their bosses. Do you think academia would step up and meet the challenge? Because I think it's folks like you guys and what you're doing that can come up with real solutions for some of these problems.
Well, thank you for that, Bert. It seems to me that scholars have primary responsibility to seek the truth in their research and try to find out what they can, and that we all are in disciplines that are devoted to particular sets of methodologies and particular problems. And yet the real problems of the world are not divided by the disciplines that our university is divided on. And therefore, I think that Freeman Spogli Institute and the Center for International Security and Cooperation and some other research centers really try to bring the best of Stanford together to do some focus applied research on different topics. What we're going to be talking about next and hearing some music is about the Iraq War. And I'm going to turn to number seven, which is a band called Sunvolt that has two songs on one of their recent albums. The first one, called Jet Pilot, is a tribute to George W. Bush, and the second one is about the Iraq War, called Endless War. Let's play Jet Pilot.
And we don't normally do this, but through the magic of Google and the Google Maps, we have a listener in Iraq. We don't know who it is. We don't know how many people it is, but we'll dedicate this next set to them.
Song. A kindle bad blood with a walk on sacred ground. Not here to pass judgment or to criticize. It's plain to share mistakes to go around. Still trying to understand why another wrong makes a right. The world needs another young
Okay, little music for your ears on this Monday afternoon out here on the edge of the Western world with political science professor Scott D. Sagan and also one of the senior fellows at the Center for International Security and Cooperation working on this new lecture series, Ethics and War, happening here through May, right? It's saying everybody's invited to this, public too, right, Scott?
Absolutely. We're doing many sessions in the evenings that we hope both students, faculty and the
civilians,
the public in Palo Alto will come out for.
And anywhere else, too. People
and
from San Mateo,
else.
San Carlos.
Oh, absolutely.
Pakistan.
Please come.
Definitely.
On January 17th, Stanford English professor Tobias Wolf will be interviewing Lawrence Wright, who's the author of what I consider one of the top two or three books on Al-Qaeda, an award-winning, National Book Award-winning book called The Looming Tower, Al-Qaeda and the Road to 9/11. They'll be doing this on 7 p.m. in Semex Auditorium at the Knight Management Center, the new business school, Thursday, January 12th. And I want to encourage everyone to come out and hear Tobias Wolf and Lawrence Wright talking about that organization.
Was Lawrence origins. Wright, was he Colin Powell's chief of staff?
No.
Okay, that's a different guy.
Yeah. No, Lawrence Wright's an award-winning journalist, long-standing New Yorker author and many other publications as well.
And Scott, what's that website again people can go to see the whole schedule of the Ethics and War lecture series?
ethicsinsociety.stanford.edu, and we'll also be posting it on the Center for International Security and Cooperation website. Just Google Center for International Security and Cooperation.
Okay.
And I hope that you'll be doing a lot of public announcements over the coming months.
We're going to turn that list into a series of PSAs and get it out there for you.
I think that would be great.
And why don't we, before you leave today, we'll rebook you for the first part of next year, and we can go and get a little refresher, because it's going to go till next May, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a really very, very interesting series. And indeed, all Stanford freshmen this year read as their summer assignment three books about ethics and war.
Oh, really?
Being on this theme.
All freshmen had to.
All freshmen.
Yep. Wow.
Captain Nate Fick's memoir of the his involvement in both the initial invasion of Afghanistan and then especially his Marine Corps unit going from Kuwait up to Baghdad in March 2003, a book called One Bullet Away.
Okay.
Geraldine Brooks, the Australian novelist and war correspondent, wrote a book about the Civil War, the story of Mr. March, the missing father in Louisa May Alcott's Little Women. She imagined what was he really doing during the war when he was away from Massachusetts.
Hmm.
And then lastly, Stephen Carter, a Stanford alum, professor of law at Yale, has written a book analyzing the Obama administration's war policies from a just war theory perspective called The Violence of Peace. All three authors came to Stanford, and 1,705 students listened to all three authors on stage with me here at Memorial Auditorium
Wow.
on the last day of freshman orientation.
Oh, that's great.
It was great. I was so proud of the students both for asking great questions and coming up and talking with rigorous questions, not agreeing with everything that was said on stage. Indeed, mm-hmm. the people on stage sometimes disagreed with each other. And it's important, I think, at a great university like this to learn that reasonable people can disagree on some of the tough questions that we face, and that part of university life is to learn how to learn what things are reasonable disagreements, what are not reasonable disagreements,
yeah.
and also to learn how to try to advance a debate forward in a civilized and appropriate manner.
And it's very interesting now because the campus is so international. It's not just American kids here anymore. In fact, it might be 50% folks from outside the United States as part of the student body.
It's not quite that high, but what I think you do find is that Stanford, you can no longer say, we should do this or we should do that, meaning the United States.
Right, right.
That when you give lectures, you have to actually think about that. And in a great class that will be taught this winter by Professor Martha Crenshaw and Amy Ziegert, called International Security in a Changing World, they actually do a simulation of a large arms control negotiation, in this case, something dealing with nuclear weapons and nuclear power in Iraq or in Iran. And they have people from different countries, and we often will have a Israeli playing the Egyptian ambassador
oh.
or a Pakistani citizen playing the Indian ambassador.
Very
and that's a
cool.
way of getting people out of their normal boxes that they are used to living in.
I like that. Academia is good for that, for sure. Scott D. Sagan, the guest for the hour, coming on the home stretch now, and let's see how much more music we can squeeze in here, Scott.
Let's have a few songs about 9/11 and slow it down a little bit. The next song is going to be a song based on the phone calls between people in the Twin Towers and their spouse outside.
Wow. Are the phone calls actually in the song?
Well, it's based on them. Uh-huh. And no, it's not a recording, but it's Emmylou Harris singing a duet with Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits.
Wow.
Called the album's called All the Road Running. And this is called If This Is Goodbye.
My famous last words are laying around in tatters, sounding absurd.
Shining song would light up the way before me. You were the one made me feel I could fly. whatever is waiting for me. If this is goodbye, if this is goodbye.
As I walk this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity, oh yeah, I ask myself, is all hope gone? Is there only pain, hatred and misery? Oh, yeah. And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I wanna know. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Ooh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? And as I walk on through troubled times, my spirit gets so downhearted sometimes. Where are the strong and who are the trusting? And where is the harmony, sweet harmony now? 'Cause each time I feel it slipping away, it just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? About peace, love, and understanding. Where are the strong? Who are the trusting? And where is the harmony, sweet harmony now? 'Cause each time I feel it slipping away, it just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? So funny about peace, love, and understanding. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Understanding, brother. Understanding, sister. Understanding.
Okay, coming back now, a couple of really heartfelt, serious ballads there. And why don't you speak about those a little bit, Scott, because those were pretty heart-wrenching subjects.
Both are heart-wrenching. The Mark Knopfler, Emmylou Harris song, If This Is Goodbye, is inspired by and uses some of the language of the conversations between the people who eventually died in the World Trade Center and their phone calls to their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
The last song is a much earlier song, but it's been performed, I think, after 9/11. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Peace, love, and understanding are often joke phrases that we use.
Yeah, old hippie terms.
That's right. And Nick Lowe, I think, says it very, very well, that it makes you want to cry, given all the troubles in the world. So what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
Yeah,
you need to work on it.
Yeah, definitely.
I wanted to make just a last pitch for the Ethics and War series.
Definitely.
January 12th, 7 p.m., Lawrence Wright and Tobias Wolff talking about the looming tower, the origins of Al-Qaeda. Here at the Peagout Theater, 8 p.m. on Thursday through Saturday, December 1st through 3rd, a performance of Copenhagen, a play about Niels Bohr and Heisenberg meeting to discuss the atomic bomb in Europe. And on November 17th, Paul Wise from the medical school talking about war and children's lives before, during, and after. I'd like to end with a humorous, but I think ultimately uplifting song from the new Lonely album, Lonely Avenue album. This is written by Nick Hornsby, the British novelist, and performed by Ben Folds, the music by Ben Folds and performed by Ben Folds. And I imagine this, although they say in the introduction that the story is told in the song entirely, but you can imagine this as a Iraqi vet coming back, being in a psychiatric ward in London, looking out through the picture window.
Thank you very much, Scott, and do come back real soon, and we'll look for you at this lecture series.
They checked into the hospital New Year's Eve. Nothing to be done about that. Rainbows, daffodils, she's not naive. Symbolism's all crap. There's a big picture window in the room on the ward with the view over Parliament Hill. But the view offers more joy than they can afford. When there's this much pain to kill, you know what hope is. Hope is a bastard. Hope is a liar, a cheat and a tease. As a firework streak the sky, and their window gives them the prettiest picture. The useless luck makes her wanna cry. Then it turns midnight, the shitty old year spent. Another mom gives her some sparkling wine, and she nearly gives into the moment, but he'll still be sick in 2009. Cheat and a tease. Hope comes near you, kick its backside. Got no place in days like these. She's thinking of pulling the blind down. A rocket burst in front of her eyes. The city lit up, London's given a bright crown. She tries and fails to stop. Spirits rise. You know what hope is? Hope is a bastard. Hope is a liar, a cheat and a tease. Hope comes near you, kick his backside. Got no place in days like these. You know what hope is? Hope is a bastard. Hope is a liar, a cheat and a tease. Hope comes near you, kick his backside. Got no place in days like these.
Alrighty then, this is Kate.